verses 1 through 4. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. That sounds real good right there in verse 3. There's some positivity going on there. Jesus likes to see that we're actually trying. But verse 4, this is where we're going to get our text from. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, watch it now, because thou hast left thy first love. These are people here who have been very faithful to God. They've been very diligent in the ways of going about a good, solid Christian living, being as biblical as possible. But somewhere along the line, they did a little drifting. It's a little thing, but it can certainly cost you dearly to drift. What I'd like to do is bring our sermon here this morning, this afternoon, whatever the case is, titled Drifting from the Scent. Not the C-E-N-T, the money type, but the scent, the smell, the aroma. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And I ask you, Lord, please to help me to present the sermon here the way that you'd have me to, that each and every one who's in attendance here will be able to get what they need out of the service here today. Help us, Father, please, to correct the drifting that's going on in our lives, so that we can follow you, we can do things the way you want for us to do, so that you can pour out your blessings for us. We need your help, Lord, and we can't honestly expect it if we're drifting away from you. So help us, Lord, please, to come correct. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. So drifting is, well, it's easy. There are some instances where you're supposed to drift. And I'm not talking about the racing the cars down the street type drifting there. Sorry for the Fast and Furious thing there. But you go out fishing, you can do some drift fishing. You let the boat just drift along the water. Let the current take you. And hopefully it'll take you past some fish. Hey, that's great. But drifting oftentimes is not good. For example, if you were to go down to Homewood, Illinois here, and you're on Halstead, right there at 8294, you look straight ahead of you. Surely, from where you're at there, you will hit the Sears Tower. I don't care what they call it now. It's Sears Tower to me. But as you get closer, right where we are at right now, if you're over on Halstead, you'll have noticed you've drifted off several degrees, several miles. You're nowhere near the Sears Tower anymore. And we haven't even gotten up to it yet. Drifting can be a bit of a problem. If you're driving down the road and your eyes are getting sleepy, you're getting tired, your eyes start needing to blink more, the head starts bobbing, you know, something catches your eye over there and you look that way and you're doing one of these numbers. Next thing you know, you're drifting into the other lane. Drifting's not good. If you're drawing out plans or blueprints or whatever, and you start drifting a little bit, there in that 1 to 25 ratio scale, by the time you enlarge that to the size of a building, that little drift there can be off by several feet, really ruin the whole project. Drifting while navigating gets you lost. You're on some of these backcountry roads and, well, this road here looks good. I mean, it's just as not paved as the road I'm on right now. I could take it. Next thing you know, you're in the middle of a cornfield and you ain't got a clue where you're at. That caused you some problems. There's also where you can drift away from a scent. God's blessed us with five senses, and one of those is the ability to smell, and certain scents, certain aromas we can breathe in. Oh, it takes us back. It brings memories to mind. Makes us feel a little secure at times. I recognize where I'm at. I recognize who I'm with. Even if I can't see them, I can at least smell. It's so fragrant, so good, so comforting. But if you've drifted away from that scent, it causes problems. By trade, my secular job is I'm a bread man. I deliver bread to various places. And over the last 27 years, I've lost count of the number of times someone has asked me, just don't I get to work and be so hungry from the smell of that delicious bread? And I have to break the news to them. I can't smell it anymore. Seriously, I can't smell bread anymore. And it most recently someone asked me, doesn't that bread smell so good? Because they walked right past my delivery truck. I can't smell it. And I got to thinking about it. Why is it that I cannot smell the bread anymore when I'm literally there inside of a bread truck? It would seem the most logical place to be able to smell bread is inside of that delivery truck, yet I cannot. Some might would say that, well, you've kind of left your first love. You've left the area that has been a source of financial gain for you, that's allowed for you to pay for the house, the car, and all this stuff there, to support your family and whatnot. You can't smell the very thing you're out there peddling. Seems a little strange. So I got to thinking about it. Why is it I can't smell it? Why have I drifted away from this? And I came up with four things. Number one, I'm not where the scent is coming from. I know I'm inside the delivery truck there, but quite frankly, the best place to smell bread is at the bakery. You're over here on the Eisenhower, right around Cicero Avenue. You'll smell there from one of our production facilities, the baking process going on there. It smells real good. But unless I'm inside of that building, even when I'm driving past on the outside, I can't smell it. I don't even work out of that facility. We've got a warehouse over there in Indiana that I pull out of. Our bread gets trucked in on semis. I am not near the source of all that good-smelling bread. So unless it's extremely hot, and that bread was packed into that semi right away, and the semi caught no traffic on the way down to us, and arrived and opened up that back door, forget it, I can't smell the bread. Preacher, what's that got to do with anything with this sermon? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These people here at Ephesus in Revelation 2, they've done some drifting away, Evangelist Phil, from Jesus. They no longer are taking in the full impact of the source because they're not there at the source anymore. Oh, they might be physically there in the church house, but mentally they're far away. And we could get the same exact way in our lives when it comes to Jesus. Oh, we might be meeting here right now in this auditorium. We might be hearing that fool up there behind the desk talking his head off. But are we actually near the source? Or do we just know there's a source nearby? We can easily forsake even by being close at hand. Had a little incident here just before we all started, and someone ended up walking away. They forsook the assembling of themselves together. When we walk out these doors here in the next few minutes, are we going to be forsaking, or are we going to be leaving the source behind? And I'm not talking me, I'm talking Jesus. Or are we going to be going with Jesus? Or are we going to be staying close to the source? Or are we going to be drifting away from that scent that He is trying to use to remind us of what all He can do for us? We move away from Him. We should expect less of Him and more trouble to come into our lives instead. Bible talks there in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be full of one or the other. As I've been drinking this tea since I first got here. There is less tea in there and there's more air in there. Our lives will be the same thing. And until I get back to the source to refill this bottle of tea, it's just going to become less and less. We need to be around Jesus more and more and stop with the drifting so that we can see success in our lives. So we can see a change for the better take place in our lives. But not only is it a matter that I'm absent from the source, I ain't thinking about it. Yeah. I've grown numb to the smell of bread. I take it for granted that it smells good. It's kind of like air. How many of us honestly sit here and think, I gotta make sure I breathe. Gotta make sure I exhale. Gotta make sure I breathe. Gotta make sure I exhale. Am I breathing in oxygen or is this methane, or is this nitrogen? You know, what am I breathing in here? Someone please tell me. We don't think about it.
Of course not.
We're just automatically, we start breathing. From the moment we were born and that doctor picked a fight with us by hitting us on the backside to get us to start breathing on our own, we just automatically assumed we breathe. We just automatically assume we're going to breathe oxygen. We get busy doing other things and we lose track of what is supposed to be important in our lives. We lose focus or we focus on the wrong things. You see, the word focus means follow one course until successful. But if you're not following one course, you're following many, you will drift. If you're following the wrong course, you will definitely be drifting away from where He wants you to be. So, well, where does He want me to be? He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to think about being with Him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, so often, evangelists, still we take that verse to be talking about salvation and winning souls to the Lord. And that's a wonderful verse to illustrate that Jesus wants to save you. The problem is, we take Jesus, we bring Him into our lives, and then we put Him in the closet.
We put Him back.
We close the door to the closet.
Yeah.
And He's standing there knocking. Hey, I'm still here. I want to come in. But we're too busy with everything else. We're too busy with the sports. We're too busy thinking about how in the world we could possibly fix the Chicago Bears. We're too busy worrying about how the bull season's going to be taking place. We're too worried about politics and them getting a new speaker at a house there in Washington, D.C. We're too busy worrying about our car, trying to get it fixed, trying to go find me a new woman, trying to find a new man, whatever the case is there. We're too busy trying to get money. We're too busy with everything else, and we've drifted away from God.
Man, you're right.
We don't even think about it. We're just busy following our heart because it knows right from wrong. Hogwash, it knows right from wrong. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceptively wicked. Who can know it?
Hey!
We don't think about doing things God's way. And next thing you know, we've drifted away from Him and we start looking around. God, where are you? God, why am I going through this, God? What's going on? God's just standing there back saying, you walked away from me. You've got free will. I'll let you use your free will. But it's going to hurt you, my child.
Oh, man.
How many of us get into some very rotten situations because we drifted just a little bit?
Yes.
And it ended up being huge in the long run.
Oh, man, you're right.
So why else would I not be able to smell bread anymore? I came up with the third point. And I decided, maybe I can't smell bread anymore because I'm covered with something else that is masking it. Years ago, when I first started with the baker there, they had me going with this guy. We were on a route out here in Indiana. And we were running some of those backcountry roads in that delivery truck. The first day I drove, I hit 3 skunks. Fortunately, it was a 14-hour day, so by the time we got back to the bakery there, the truck didn't smell like it anymore. It got aired out pretty good, but that skunk will definitely change your scent, won't it? Some dirty clothes, some sweaty, nasty, stanky clothes will change your scent, won't it? We'll throw on a whole bunch of deodorant, antiperspirant, slap a gallon of cologne on ourselves, empty that bottle of perfume all over, try to make us smell better. All we're doing, though, is covering up the stank.
No.
All we're doing is trying to give an outward showing that it's different on the inside, but anybody who comes within a mile of you knows the truth. Maybe we're just covered with a bunch of dust and dirt. Yeah. That's natural stuff, ain't it? Nature. I used to go hunting. We'd take in the hunting clothes, go out to the woods where we're going to be hunting. We get a whole bunch of leaves and some dirt and whatnot and bring it back. We'll put it in an airtight box with the camouflage stuff. So that way the clothes smell like the very area that we're going to be going hunting in. Mask our scent as to what we really are underneath. Well, that's what Satan does. He's looking to perfume us with something that we think is a bit more powerful. Is more powerful than us, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that'll... It's just meant to be more recent than that last experience you had with God. Ooh.
Ooh, man.
An experience more recent than what I had with God? Yeah, I'll run with that. Until we find out that's a dead end. A noose around our necks, weight on our feet.
Uh-oh.
Too much of a so-called good thing will mask the scent of being around God. It really wasn't a good thing. We just thought it was the right thing at the time. But if it ain't a God thing, then it's just a thing. And it ain't worthwhile. Spiritually, we call it sin. Sin masks us. It cuts us off from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." I read that verse and the first thing comes to my mind, have hid His face from you. I start thinking about those masks that we had to wear when COVID was at its height. Saw a picture of this guy. He's standing outside of a bank and there's this long line of people there and he captioned the picture, "There sure is a long line to rob the bank today." Masked up! We're trying to rob God. Because we don't want what He's got. We want to drift away some. But we're not going to drift too far away. Because when we get in trouble, oh, you better believe we're going to be crying out to Him for help. We're going to be definitely calling out, "Hey, save me from this situation I put myself into. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for that sin. Oh, please forgive me that sin. Deliver me this once, and I promise I'll never go back to the booze again. I'll never go back to the drugs again. I'll never go back to this again. Never go back to that again." And all we've been doing is masking up.
Oh, man. I'm in the field.
looking for a different scent, drifting away from God. I realize there are points in time when we do need to have a mask on, but when it comes to being open and honest with God, put that mask down and get that stuff confessed.
Amen.
But I found there was a fourth reason why I might not be able to smell the bread anymore. A fourth reason why I'm drifting away. And personally, I found this one to be the most damning of the bunch. I've built up a tolerance. Yeah. I've gotten so used to the smell of bread. You say it smells, I can't smell it. I've gotten a little jaded. It's become second nature to me. I remember years ago I had a pastor. He used to work as a maintenance at this plant that makes various plastic parts. And his wife would always complain when he'd come home because he smelled like plastic resin. He couldn't even smell it. He just took a couple showers. He said, "You need to go scrub some more because you reek of plastic." Febreze, anyone ever hear of that stuff, Febreze?
Yeah.
Stuff smells real pretty, don't it? Did you know that's not exactly the way they envisioned Febreze originally? Originally, all it was supposed to do was literally remove the smell that you're trying to cover up. Like it does now, only now it has a perfume added into it. Originally, there was no smell left afterward. And it took care of everything. The problem was, Evangelist, while certain people liked it, the vast majority didn't, because it's, I don't smell nothing. It must not be working. It's throwing them off.
Sure.
So they added the perfume in there. And now it smells real pretty. I'm sorry, there are times I don't want to smell like roses. I just don't want there to be a smell.
Wow.
God says, I don't want you to tolerate your sin. I don't want you playing it. I don't want you pretending it. There's a whole lot of super Christians out there. They're immune to anything and everything, so they think that this world can throw at them. They know it all. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 7, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They've built up a tolerance. They've hardened their hearts so that God can't prick their hearts no more to convict them of their secret sins. To convict them of their sins of omission just as much as commission.
Whoa.
Some people would say, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good.
I'll
take that a step further. They're just so self-minded, they're of no good.
Man.
They stop doing what God wants only to do things for themselves. The Bible refers to this bunch of people as Pharisees and hypocrites. Because they've built up such a tolerance for the scent of our Lord Jesus.
Yes.
In a spiritual sense, this can be very troubling because Jesus Himself proclaimed that He is the bread of life. There in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We are supposed to want the bread of life. Now I'm going to throw this in here real quickly. Bible also says that He called us the salt of the earth. The reason why that's important was because back in the Old Testament days, to seal a covenant, one person would bring bread, the other person would bring salt, and they would come together, they'd sprinkle the salt on the bread, they'd break the bread, and they both would partake. But if we've gotten to the point where we are so have such a high tolerance for God that we've done all these other things where we can't smell the bread anymore? Why in the world should we want to bring salt? And if we're not going to bring salt, the rest of the world's not going to want Jesus, who's the bread of life. That's a problem, church. Because if you ain't got Jesus, one day you will find yourself splitting hell wide open. And you ain't gonna have Pastor Dennis or Evangelist Phil to blame for you ending up there, because you've been told the truth. But you've had such a tolerance built up, you can ignore the preachers he's preaching. You've got such an ability built up in you where you just, oh, I know what he's gonna say and I'm good enough. I'm not here for that. I just want the food afterward. I get it. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. Still don't fit. But I'm telling you right now, there is a way to get this fixed.
Yes.
So preacher, the best way for you to fix being able to not smell bread is for you to quit your job, go a few years without smelling bread, and you'll be able to smell bread. Yeah, that's the long way. Of course, heaven would be the long way on that one for us spiritually. How do we stop the drifting and restore things? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
If we'll come to Him and confess to Him what's going on. Lord, I can't smell You no more. Lord, I'm drifting. I need to get recentered on You. Lord, I need to get saved. I want what that preacher up there's talking about. I want salvation. Lord, I want to be on fire for You again. I once was. I want to do it again. The way that through to get that to happen is you must come to Jesus and have a little talk with Him about it. Get it confessed. Get it under the blood. He'll cleanse you up. And this ain't going to be no cleansing where He takes and wipes the dirt off your forehead and calls it a day. No, He's going to clean you through and through.
Thank you.
Throughly is actually how the King James calls it.
Thank you, Lord.
But here's the question for you this morning. Are we willing to recenter on Jesus and reclaim what we have lost to stop the drifting so we can start smelling Him again? Or are we just going to be bound and determined to continue to do things our way instead? The choice is up to each one of us as individuals.
Man.
I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me.
Please,
you've got to do it for yourself.
And mercy on
our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done here for us. And believe, Lord, this is the sermon You'd have for us to bring to Your people here today. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would make today that they accept Him as their Savior. That they would hear these words and understand all they've got to do is confess to Jesus they are sinners, that they need to be saved and put their full faith and trust in Him and Him alone to save them. And that Jesus promised whoever will call upon His name, He will save. I thank You, Father, for saving a wretch like me. And I pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon Pacific Garden Mission, the residents and the workers here. In Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen, amen. I thank You for Your attention.